Amadeus?
Rock of Amadeus.
Worst song ever.
What?
That's not even kinda true.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with Matt Alex, one of the co-hosts of the Apropos of Nothing podcast. Spoiler alert, he hardly cried at all.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, and I'm joined by my other two hosts, Tim Wick.
Hi there.
And Nick Glover.
Hello.
And our guest this week is Matt Alex, one of the hosts of the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Hi.
Welcome, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt's super also awesome plug there. Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
At the beginning.
So, you know, I'm doing what you do. He's also a vilifier. He's my my partner in Filthy Martini.
Yep.
And what else? He's a co-host.
He's got another podcast.
He has another podcast, yeah. Horseshoe Hot Dog.
Do you do Family Hot Dog, too?
We don't do the Family Hot Dog anymore. Our is a podcast about being geek parents, except that our kids got old enough that it was difficult to find time to record. it was okay when we first started, because we could put the young kids to bed and Coda could go play, and then we're like, well, the little ones don't go to sleep anymore. They're annoyed that there's cool, fun stuff happening downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And we couldn't actually record.
And Coda's like, I don't play anymore, Dad! God!
Important conversations on Facebook.
So just Apropos of Nothing and Horror Show Hot Dog.
Yeah, those are the two right now. Then
awesome.
A1's okay. Mine, and then Horror Show Hot Dog's part of the Hot Dog Network that the Kingdom of Loathing guys have created.
But so. Also, Matt is an outspoken atheist.
I am.
And one of our has been wanting to do the show for a while.
Of course.
And,
yeah, I was really angry when you guys started the show because it's the exact show I would have started had I had the idea before you.
If you weren't doing
it. Like, oh, you found the hook. Like,
victory!
I wanted to do like an atheist or skeptic show, and I could never find the hook. Because like, yeah. I don't want to just be another show. There's enough good
right.
quality programs about that. And it's like, you gotta have some kind of angle on it. And I was like, but I don't know what spin to put on. And then you guys are like, hey, I have this new idea. And I'm like, fuck you. That's the idea that I should have had. You're smarter and more interesting.
And more handsome.
Also more it's an audio show.
oh man, they all know.
I don't know. Right.
Couldn't
it's
hurt.
Implied.
Couldn't yeah.
hurt. You can hear the neck tattoos.
It sounds like when someone drops out of society.
Yeah. So one of the things we wanted to talk about on AON, you've talked about your atheism on Apropos of Nothing.
Yes.
And did you? I didn't know if you were going to get there or not. I'm sorry. You go. You're the host.
You just started. Go for
it. All right. Oh, there's Discord. There's room for a new host. I can feel it coming. Who will I be replacing? Is it Tim or is it Molly?
I'm out.
No, sorry. Enough just hang in the back and be like, I'm Ringo, man. I'll always be around.
So you were talking about being an atheist, and somebody you managed to convince. I don't know. I want to say convince, but somebody was listening and came out to you as an atheist.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm a pretty outspoken. I'm to steal a line from someone. I can't remember the original source. I'm such an atheist. I don't believe you when you tell me you're religious.
Yeah.
I was going, yeah, but not really though, right? I mean, you go
like
because
that.
You like, but I literally can't really wrap my brain around that mindset. And so it's fascinating to me. And so, and with our show, with Apropos of Nothing, we have three hosts. There's me, Salsa, and Jenna. Mm-hmm. Jenna is a believer, and Salsa and I are both atheists. And every now and then, something comes up, and we get to argue about that.
Jenna's Christian, specifically.
It's so hard to pin that down.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have probably run into that. Well, you know, how do you believe in that? Well, come on, no one, not that kind of Christian.
Well, yeah.
People, the...
She self-describes Christian. I'm pretty sure.
But when she's not just a theist.
No, that's true. I guess she
believes
sort
in Jesus.
Of Jesus-y.
Yeah.
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 But she self-describes Christian, but doesn't have... I would
but
say,
she got
doesn't,
really
doesn't
annoyed with me for bringing
church.
Up the Bible when I would debate her about
yeah.
religion.
I
yeah.
call
it's
her
like,
the...
But that's the basis of the religion.
I know.
But, mm-hmm. okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's prickly. But so we'll get into belief, non-belief stuff there, all in good fun. We don't get too heavy into it, because it's not really the purview of our show.
You guys just
kind of
talk about everything
jokes.
And nothing.
Yeah.
You bullshit.
Yeah, so I had done, before I started having my own show, I would be the occasional fill-in guest host on the Kingdom of Loathing podcast. And 3 years ago, maybe, something like that, on one of those shows, someone had written in asking about like good podcasts to listen to aside from that one.
Mm.
And I had said, well, you know, like there's The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, there's Skeptoid, and I'd listed, and there's some fun ones, you know, Jordan, Jesse Go, and
mm-hmm.
but not that those other ones aren't fun. But I'd listed a few, and this one particular listener started listening to the ones I recommended and kind of got hooked on those, and then started reading some of the books I would mention. So
oh,
he'd read
cool.
some Dawkins and some Dennett and some Hitchens.
Sure.
And over time, kind of had found himself, you know, reading and listening to more stuff with that atheist skeptic bent. And so the process that took him a couple of years, decided that, no, I'm kind of done with this religion thing that I grew up with, and became an avowed atheist. And when he did, he sent me, I think it actually came along with a donation of money, which, by the way, if you want to compliment someone, a cash donation along with a really sweetly worded letter is about as meaningful as
you can get. It's way better than just a sweetly worded letter.
Don't be wrong.
Or
yeah.
just a cash donation.
Right. Yeah. That's the best of all worlds.
I know.
So,
I was getting for her birthday.
There you go. So, yeah, I'd gotten our show doesn't, you know, we don't charge anything for podcasts because very few people can do that. But we have a little donation link if people want to send us some money because
sure.
it costs money to do this stuff.
Sure.
And so I got like a $20 donation. There's a little thing we can write notes or whatever. And I, you know, normally it's just, hey, like the show, thanks guys, something like that, or an address to send like a sticker to or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was maybe like a night after a Ville show or before a Ville. I had a few people over. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I got a thing from PayPal. And so I log in. I'm like, oh, fucking sweet. Like $20. That'll buy some more stickers eventually. And I realized that this one doesn't have a little thank you note. It has this like multi-paragraph letter.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's, hey, I wanted to let you know. And he kind of laid out, this thing and gave me some credit for kind of pushing him off along that journey, and I had no idea that this was coming, and you guys all know me, so I'm within sentences and just weeping.
I was going to say, you're openly weeping.
You cry
yeah.
everything.
Crying like a fucking
oh,
moron.
Sure.
And so I'm at one end of the couch, laptop in my lap, as you do, and I'm just crying, and to the point where it's like big sobs, just
aww.
Crying. And everybody else has been talking, that you can see as the room kind of goes, what the hell happened to Matt? Like, what? He's crying like a bitch for no reason. I had to,
is
like,
he watching that shadow thing?
I know, right? So I had to kind of compose myself and then try to read the letter to the group to kind of explain what was going on, and then, of course, just broke down completely.
Yeah.
And
so much harder when you go out loud with
it
that
is.
Shit.
It is. It was the worst.
Yeah.
And then your
voice breaks that one time, and it's all over.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, in fits and starts, I got through this letter that this guy sent me, and it's right up there probably with the most humbling and just beautiful things that's ever happened to me in my life. The you know, that everybody's got the big ones are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting married or your kids are born. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's things like that, and I don't know, maybe you save someone's life or someone saves your life. I'm sure stuff
anal
like that.
Your first time. Yeah,
anal,
I mean, that's
that. Oh god, I'll never forget that. But
me neither.
Sorry. But this is one for me that it's like, you know, we, as an outspoken atheist, you know, you're putting that information out there, or at least I am, with the idea that, one, people should know that there's other people out there like them if they
yes.
are atheists, because there
yeah.
are not enough atheist voices.
Yeah.
Big on that.
And two, you should give people another perspective. You know, my own process of becoming an out atheist to my family, you know, one of the things I'd have to keep, like, reminding my mother, who was, of course, terrified for me,
yeah.
was that, you know, all these things that you're afraid of are coming to you from the source of someone within the church you ascribe to. Of course everything we do is horrible and scary and not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a vested interest in the thing they do. Like,
yeah.
they are, you know, they don't know. They
and
don't
if they weren't asking for your money, I'd trust them a little bit more. But they are asking
but,
for your money,
well,
which you should
even,
always suspect.
It could even be more innocent than that. It might not even be just that they have a vested interest in keeping people in the church. It could just be cultural misunderstanding.
Well, they've also signed up for that
belief. It's foreign to them,
yeah.
so they don't understand. They can't sympathize with something they don't have any exposure
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I should point out, I'm not inclined to ascribe sinister motives to
right.
the religious unless it's very cut and dry that
right.
their motives are. It's the old phrase of never ascribe to malice what can be adequately explained
sure.
by stupidity.
Which razor is that? Harlan's?
It might be Harlan's razor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I use Gillette.
There you go.
I feel that something I'm really strong about is the whole, like, I'm not trying to convince anyone to become an atheist, because I don't think that I want to do that any more than I want to that someone else should be convincing people to be Christian. But what I want to do is say, hi, I'm this cool person that, you know, and I do these things, and maybe you like those things. Maybe you like my comedy, maybe you like my podcast, you know, you see me at work, you know, but I'm an atheist. So you think I'm a good person, P.S. I'm an atheist, so you
right.
should know that. And I want to, that's one of the reasons I'm very out about it, is because I want to make sure that even if you don't agree, and even if you are firm in your religious belief, gross, but that's fine. Like, I want you to see this is a person who's, it's similar to the whole, like, I'm a gay person that you now know. Like, right. You now know a gay guy. You can't pretend
you can't
this
generalize
is exactly
and stereotype
exactly
existing.
and it's similar. I've compared them before, and I know that they're not.
Well, it goes. It's minority.
Yes,
and the difference is unlike like ethnic minorities or people from another country even
or gender.
You or gender. It's not something that you can see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see that someone's gay. You can't see that someone is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are, undercover minorities or whatever. I mean, it's like, it's not something that's as obvious.
We can pass.
Pass for normal. But, I guess for me, I never think about wanting to convert somebody to atheism. I want to convert somebody away from especially fundamentalism. I mean, to me, moving somebody away from what I consider to be a damaging perspective.
That's fair.
If somebody believes in God, that's fine. I don't give a rat's ass. You can believe in God, but...
Except that they vote.
Well, but if you're voting on your belief in God, that's a problem. But if you believe in God and that has nothing to do with the decisions that you make
keeping medical for your children, you're not...
As long as that your belief in God does not affect me, I don't have a problem with religion,
you have a problem with zealotry.
I have a problem with zealotry.
I don't think you need to be a zealot to have religion inform your life and your choices and things like the way you vote.
I agree, given that
I think zealot makes people think of, your
sure,
crazy.
But the number of people who say that they wouldn't vote for an atheist.
Right.
And those people aren't necessarily zealots.
No, not
grandma,
at all.
My grandma is like, well, they say, Obama says that he's a Christian, but I still don't know. And it's all because just someone in her church said that and that's a weird combination of racism and whatever. But like, she's like, but to her, and I'm like, but Romney's a Mormon. Like, does that not matter to you? And she's like, well, but Mormons still believe in Jesus. I'm like, also, by the way, Nana, it shouldn't matter if they believe in Jesus or not, if they can lead the country.
It
should
matter whether
they
can fucking run the country.
Yeah. But that's something that a lot of people cannot divorce from one from the other. I mean, my mom remembers her dad being furious when JFK got elected.
Oh, because he was a Catholic.
She's going to take instruction from the Pope.
Deal.
Yep.
It was a big fucking
and
deal.
And that's not that long ago. People do think, the one that I usually hear about that is at least they believe in something. This is what I usually hear, which drives me insane. Like, I believe in freedom.
I believe in
the Constitution.
I believe in things
you have to believe in to be an office.
I believe in taking care of my kids. I believe that, I got an adorable cat that purrs when I pet it. You know what? There's all sorts of things. Well, it does.
I always tell people I believe in Australia. That's usually my comeback to, well, what do you believe in? Australia. I've never been there. I've seen photos. Those could all be fake.
There's a
preponderance of evidence that Australia is real.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm willing to believe things that you can't touch or smell.
Fantastic creatures there. It does seem kind of unreal.
Right?
I could get on a plane right now, and it would take me to Australia, reportedly. Now, I want to get on a plane and go to heaven. They're going to be like, I can't even kill myself
TSA
and go. I believe
in the Milky Way galaxy, and that's not something you can see.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You can see,
we're in the Milky Way galaxy.
I just believe in me.
I believe in a thing called love. Let's go with the darkness reference.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I think steering somebody away from that. Having steered somebody, I would love to be told by somebody that I started them on that journey.
But I think a lot of that comes from a place, a lot of that also comes hand in hand with like a fundamentalist. Generally, I'm generalizing. A fundamentalist generally is going to be someone who doesn't appreciate or doesn't support gay marriage or doesn't support gay rights or doesn't, maybe doesn't believe in Muslims as being like worthwhile human beings.
Nuance is lost.
Yes. And so with that, it's like, in that sense, those are the things I want to pull people away from.
Yeah.
I personally am anti-theist. I want to pull everyone away from their fucking religion and belief. I think it's horrible, but I don't personally feel the need to go person to person.
The trick there is,
I feel it's detrimental. I just don't like to proselytize. I don't like to be proselytized.
But that's the key thing is that it's, I think when you set out to convert someone, you're going to come at it that's not from a place of discussion or conversation. You're going
to
come from a place of telling.
You weren't
trying people don't like
to
be
convert
told
that
stuff.
Dude. That just
no,
happened.
No, I was just saying, here's the world and the truth as I see it.
Yeah.
And people, that's the most common question any prominent atheist or skeptic gets is how do we, get people on our side? How do we increase the size of our movement? And it's the tiny drop of water, working its way through a rock. it's, well, here's a thing to think about, or let's examine those ideas. Teaching someone to think critically, I think, goes a lot farther than, you know, telling them why the Bible is full of shit.
Exactly.
You might be right, you have all the facts, but they don't want to hear that, because that comes off as a personal attack.
You point out that, you know, they say, you know, Leviticus forbids homosexuality. Well, it also forbids, you know, wearing fibroids and all this other stuff.
And they just stop listening.
Yeah. But if you say, why do you think it banned that?
Right.
Like, why do you think it says that? Let's just put that table that it does or doesn't. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that might have been? Could it be because there were only 1,000 people in the world?
Do you think that that's terribly relevant to the way we live our lives
now? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
And beliefs that are far less dear to people than their religious beliefs can cause much more heated arguments than, I mean, you could tell someone you don't like Led Zeppelin and they'll freak out. It's things that are far less precious than someone's eternal soul that they think they have can incite major arguments and make people stop speaking
loyalty.
To each other forever. Exactly. And so if you're going to attack something that is not just important to someone, but they consider central to the existence of reality, you know, a soft touch is going to go a lot farther.
I don't want to convince people. I guess when I say I would love to be able to convince somebody, it's like I would love to have that experience, but I don't. I agree. You don't proselytize.
Yeah.
I think the important thing as atheists is to be out about it, to not be in the closet about it, to talk about it, and to say this is what I believe and this is why I believe it.
I'm getting my American Atheist tattoo, the broken atom with the A, and I'm getting it on my other arm as soon as we have the money flow to do such a thing. But I decided that's happening because I'm like that is something I want out there, that if people are like, what is that? I can say, that's the American Atheist logo, because I'm an atheist. Like, there we have it. Like, it's just, I'm done not really wanting to talk about it because it might offend somebody. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm done.
The not offending people is something that, while I think that when you're trying to, you know, steer people towards reason, you know, proselytizing or, you know, trying to be the whatever the opposite of a Bible thumper is, isn't great. The idea of, like, not offending people, or the idea of, I was talking to someone who said they were out with a group of friends, and a couple of their friends are relatively observant Jews, and they were, I think it's Psycho Susie's, in the next table over, bajillion tattoos.
Yeah.
And this friend is like, oh God, I really want to get a tattoo. And they're like, oh God, we would never, because, you know, there's the whole body art,
not getting
buried or whatever.
You can't get buried in an Orthodox Jewish graveyard if you have a tattoo.
And so, you know, and this friend is like, well, you know, that I think that's nonsense, of course, but I respect it. And I said, I don't. I think what we've done that is part of the problem we have with even making this conversation becomes a non-starter is that we all talk about how we respect what other people do that's crazy.
Yeah.
What we mean is we tolerate it.
Yes.
Right.
We won't stop them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And exactly. I'm not going to force you to get a tattoo.
But I do not respect your religious belief.
My
I don't
mom...
respect the things it makes you do. I think that's something that I don't hear people talk about enough that I wish was part of
the conversation. The flip side to that, though, is... what's a riskier behavior, getting a tattoo or not getting a tattoo? Well, getting a tattoo is 99.99% just fine.
Sure.
But it is kind of like cutting your body. I mean, you could get an infection. If the artist isn't clean, there's a risk
spelling
errors.
And then it's obviously
badly
permanent
drawn,
and visible. And so, like, they are also... tolerating your, you know, getting a tattoo,
right.
Like, is the flip side of that.
Agreed.
They don't have to give a fuck whether, you know, what you do to yourself or how you choose to live.
Exactly.
They just have to tolerate it.
And it's tough to beat up on the Jews because, one, other people have done it better, and two, they are generally pretty cool as far as the religious go.
We talked about this in a recent podcast. They are very exclusive. They don't want new Jews.
With the exception of, like, your crazy Orthodox Jews, which are pretty horrifying when you get
the Hasidic Jews.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But there's
the women in the menstrual
like, no hats, pictures, no pictures of women anywhere.
But I mean, your average, the Jew in Eva is likely to meet is pretty fucking great, and that's a religion that actually encourages discussion and questioning.
Yeah. Yes.
And
if I have
no
to have a favorite religious group, they're probably right up there.
Yeah,
they're not out trying to save everyone's souls.
With the respect thing, I will say, like, and I've told this story briefly before, but like my mom and I were one of the big conversations when I was coming out as an atheist to my family. Like, really, I am an atheist. It's not just that I don't go to church or whatever. And my mom's like, well, but you're an atheist, but you respect other people's religious beliefs. And I said, no, I don't. And I said, I lose a little bit of respect for someone when I find out they believe in God.
It's
and
a box
just,
that becomes unchecked for me.
And I can't not do that. And it doesn't mean I don't love you or think you're cool or whatever, but that is literally going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I find out that you truly believe in God, and I don't have a lot of theist friends, I really don't.
Yeah.
You had a friend get pretty pissed.
I did. I had a friend who got really mad.
Who's a... spiritual guy more than anything else.
He was an atheist, and then he became very spiritual. And it's like, and I can understand that, I guess, but like, you know, and like, we knew each other from college and stuff, so it was like, that was weird, because like, so his point is, oh, I was going through a phase of atheism. And I'm like, that's fine. And he's like, you're
going through a phase.
So he's like, so you're going through it. Yeah, I did that too. Yeah, you're going through a phase of atheism. And I'm like, no. See, your experience, not my experience. Right. Like, that's,
The losing a little bit of respect for someone, I've tried to explain that. Like, a lot of my theological discussions are with my mom, or at least they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we don't talk or anything, it's just I don't live at home.
Right.
But the losing respect for people thing is something that I go, you know, think of something that, you know, what was the last thing you laughed at that you saw on a talk show when someone said they spend their weekends looking for Bigfoot? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's like, it is the same question. So, you know, it's times, I know you can't wrap your brain around it because you believe this with your whole heart, but yours is the same as saying you think Spider-Man's real or Bigfoot or Nessie or whatever.
If someone told you that every night they put, you know, grain across all their doorsteps and wear garlic and go to bed because they know that vampires are going to come, you would be like, you need to go to the hospital.
They might be great. They might make, you know, they might make the best husband or wife. They might have wonderful kids. They might be active in the PTA. But you'd go, but they're, you know, they're a little cray-cray.
Yeah.
You know, like, they think vampire
I have a friend that I found out literally believes the world's going to end at the end of 2012.
I think I know who that is. Yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
You know what? I lose a little bit of respect for that friend. As much as I respect that person, the fact is, that's crazy talk.
That is,
what's going to happen? I feel bad for
that. The same thing that always happens.
I feel bad for those people, because when that comes crashing down, I feel like there's going to be some sort of misery that's going to happen.
No, there isn't. There isn't. Because there was the world. There have been a couple of predicted Armageddon dates in the last couple of years.
I've never known anyone.
And when people have
some personally,
and when people predict an Armageddon date and it goes and Armageddon doesn't happen, all they do is they say we got the date wrong. Either
they got the date wrong or we got
lucky. 4 suicides with the last one.
Oh no, that's the danger.
Yeah, but
people
they kill themselves.
Give away all their shit,
they kill themselves before the Armageddon date. They don't kill themselves because it doesn't come.
These guys, there were four people.
These are people that were
four people across the world that killed themselves because they'd given all their money away and they didn't have a house and they killed themselves because camping was wrong. And so,
but I don't like camping
yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's what I worry about is it's like
I didn't know about that, and that is terrible, you know.
But that, and that again gets back to that, it doesn't, you know, it's not, religious beliefs in and of themselves are no better or necessarily worse than any other nonsense belief, which is why I think the critical thinking is the big thing, is teaching people to, you know, understand basic concepts of, well, look, can we prove that? What evidence do you have
worst
for that?
Worst case scenario,
you know, is it falsified?
We have a bunch of religious people who can make good decisions and you know, make good problem solvers and shit like that.
Well, and I think another...
That's useful skills to have.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another step is just to say, that's great, you believe that. Do you have a right to force your beliefs on me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's with when we talk about things like gay marriage, when we talk about things like separation of church and state.
Yeah.
There is that piece of religion that seems to want to force their worldview on everybody else. When we look at Sharia law in
that's
Muslim
the example
countries,
I always use.
Well, and what
is the super religious people in our country are more likely to meet super religious Christian of some stripe.
Right.
And I had a guy that I worked with who was a really nice guy. We played KOL together, hung out, you know, all that stuff. But he was very religious, and he, you know, we would always argue about separation of church and state. And I said, so in 50 years, 100 years, however long it is, when our country is mostly Islamic, the population. Do you still think that we should have separation of church and state then? Because someday that's going to happen. Some other religion than yours will be the big one.
Yeah.
And would you still, at that point, when you're still a Christian or your great-great-great-great-whatevers are, wouldn't you be glad to know that they're still allowed to do their thing and that they don't have to start wearing the Batman suit and all that crazy shit? You know, like,
what was his response to that?
His is, well, that we're a Christian nation. They brush up because it's not his reality.
Christian nation.
You know?
Well, Trinity or Triple.
What I find really interesting is when Christians, fundamentalists usually are saying, well, atheists are trying to push their beliefs like we're in government. Atheists are trying to push their beliefs on me by not letting my kids pray in school, by not letting, you know, by letting women have abortions. And so it's like, no, but see, those aren't atheists. They're doing that. That's just, that's a whole lot of people from a whole lot of faiths. Like,
and
those
the
are
thing
just
is they're also just taking the question and spinning it, because no one's saying they can't.
Right.
We're just saying other people can do the
exactly.
thing. Now, every kid that wants to can pray in school every second they're not required to be doing something.
It's yep. true.
You don't have to be doing it
you
out
just
loud.
Can't do it out loud.
You don't have to have your
pray
before every test.
You can pray out loud in the bathroom.
You can not have as many abortions as you want.
You know, if kids are given a free time where they can just sit and bullshit with each other about Pokemon, I don't care if one kid wants to sit and say a prayer.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's just it should be something led by the school. And
exactly.
You know, if you think abortion's wrong,
can't
well, then
be
great. Don't have an abortion.
Yeah, that's my favorite bumper
just
sticker.
Just you don't. But when they say
don't,
you want to put
like
your beliefs...
abortion,
yeah,
don't have one.
They
like,
say, you know, you don't want to... You want to push your beliefs on me. No, I don't. I want to let other... You can keep your beliefs.
Yeah.
We're not going to force Christians to marry a dude if they're a dude, or to get an abortion, or any number of other things that I think are awesome
could
or hilarious.
Though?
I could force a dude to get an abortion. I could try. I've seen a bunch done. I have an idea of what to do.
I took that morning after pill during one of our Vilt talks.
Oh, that's right. Sick?
Zero effect from that, actually.
Zero effect.
I think that
didn't
surprise me much.
I still
like,
have the rest of those.
Well,
you're saying I should take
it,
more?
It probably killed all the sperm in your uterus. So.
Oh, wow.
Thank
I
God.
I could have done that.
You know what? But we should have. I'm fixed. We probably should have had some.
Oh.
Still had
it was you were more like a control.
That's true. Yeah, I was just a placebo. Matt did it. He's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're the Mikey of birth control.
He likes it.
Oh, fantastic.
He's been shitting blood
just,
for an hour, but he seems to really like it.
Am
I the first person that said shitting blood on your podcast?
Maybe.
Think so.
Okay, cool.
Maybe.
So, I mean, hard to say.
We did
have Stephanie's Vaughn on it.
The guy that you kind of convinced, you met him, didn't you?
I did, yeah. We, at the end of one of the letters, he and I, we'd corresponded a bit. He had said, hey, if you're able to, you should get down to the Kingdom of Loathing convention in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually meet in person. I was like, fuck yeah. So I basically just told my wife, Greta, like, when I got that email, I'm going next year to that.
Yeah.
Like, this is important.
Yeah.
She, she was just like, oh, absolutely.
Of
like, how could she not, you know?
Because she knew how important it was to you.
Yeah, and it was...
And she wanted him to go away
from and also she probably could use, like, the 5 days away from me. I got to go down there and have a great time and all that. But also, yeah, I think it was, like, the second night I was... doing something, Scully and I were standing at like a craps table or something, and I had someone come up and he's like, hey, you know, I don't want to use his name. He said it's fine to talk about all this stuff. I did ask him, but he wanted it to be not. We'll call him Greg.
Alright.
Okay. And so he's like, hey, I'm Greg.
P.S. his real name's Greg.
Right.
No.
That's the trick. People are thinking something else now.
No.
Psychologies. So he's like, hey, I'm Greg. I'm like, Greg from the and he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, fucking shit, right? And then I'm like, that's the least eloquent introduction ever. And it was like, as we were about to like leave for that night, like casino night was winding up, and I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, look, this is even worse. I'm like, I'm nearly incoherently drunk right now. And my ride is leaving in, like, 2 minutes. I'm so sorry. Like, you'll be at the whole thing. And he's like, yeah, I'll be here the whole time. I'm like, cool. I'm super sorry. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow and I'll remember.
This is your podcast.
Do over.
No, and he was fine. And so I ended up getting the next day then, we were all hanging out doing all kinds of shit. And I kind of walked over. I'm like, dude, let's get a beer and, like, actually talk. And so, I got to kind of sit. We sat down and I said, okay, like, tell me your story.
Yeah.
And we probably talked for, like, 4 hours.
That's awesome.
And really, it was... It was everything I could have hoped for and more, because one of the things that...
Oral?
You, one of the things that you worry about with a freshly converted to anything person is, again, a level of zealotry, or more so when someone goes from a religious background to an atheism is anger at God opposed to actually being an atheist, which it comes up
the difference.
And this was like a very just calm, rational, engaging, funny guy.
That's awesome.
Who had, you know, over the course of a couple of years and, you know, a lot of reading and some introspection, come to a very rational and well thought out decision.
Welcome to the party, Greg.
Yeah.
Not his real name.
It was great. And, you know, having the chance to kind of elaborate on the things that we had, I understood from him from like the initial emails he'd sent me, where I can actually pull it up here a little bit. In the fall of 2009 is when he first heard me talking about my atheism, and he said he rediscovered his love of reading through skeptical literature that he never would have been exposed to had it not been for my message that night. His love for the scientific method and naturalism dormant and held back for 22 years of my life, now flourishes. My once sparse bookshelf is now overflowing with books on psychology, cognitive neuroscience, evolution, superstition, general skepticism, neurological disorders, persuasion and influence, belief, and so much more.
Awesome.
So, like, this is a very smart guy who is kind of... We sat there, and he's like, oh, my God, have you read this? I'm like, shit, no. So, like, both of us have our phones out, and I'm like, he's emailing me links to Amazon things, and I'm emailing him shit back, and like, have you listened to this podcast? He's like, no. And so I'm, like, sending shit back and forth. And
the pupil has become the master.
It was so great. And then I was like, so, okay, like, we've talked about you. What about your family? Like, where are you coming from with that? And he forwarded me the letter he finally sent to his parents when he came out to them. And it's this huge, long thing, which, again, was, that's something that can really go either way, you know? And it was, again, very well thought out. And, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand how you raised me the way you did and why. I just have done these things and come to these conclusions. That no longer works for me. I obviously still love you guys. You know, that part doesn't change.
Right.
But certain things about how I view the world are just going to be different from how you do. And, you know, he said I believe it was his dad was actually surprisingly cool. His mom, who was, I think he said, the slightly more religious one, was also cool, that although he could tell it bothers her a little more. And he said, but he thinks, you know what, honestly, the little prayers before dinner might be getting a little more secular now. So, you know,
well,
when he goes home
nice
to visit.
Then.
So I was like,
they're making
right
some room for him.
So yeah, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it was the ideal story for that to kind of happen. And it was just, you know, I've got this friend now that I cherish as much as people I've known much longer and have had much more
time.
That's
awesome.
Just
truly.
That weird sharing.
Really, truly
connection.
Awesome.
It is like, really, yeah, it's a very powerful thing. And it's, yeah, so thanks, Greg. I'll send him an email after this.
I'll
tell him his real name.
Tell him to listen to the
Thanks,
podcast.
Actual guy. No, I told him I was actually going to be on. So I was
cool.
Like, we'll probably record sometime in October, so he'll get it.
Tell him to email in his 5 questions.
That'd be fun.
I should have fun.
Yeah,
he
should. So, speaking of 5 questions,
hey,
we have 5 questions for you.
Right
there. That's right.
Thanks.
So,
very
question
pro.
Number one. It's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days.
I know this.
Theater or
I know
porn.
Matt's answer. It's Troll.
No, it's
best
not.
Best movie you've seen in the last 30 days.
Best movie in the last 30 days.
But it's a horror movie.
It is a horror movie, because that's almost all I've had time to watch. I have to watch 3 movies a week for my Horror Show Hot Dog podcast. I'm going to say... Best one last 3 days. You know what? I'm going to give it to... It's not perhaps the best movie I've watched, but it's the one that is new to me that I've watched. VHS. Which is a horror anthology with the conceit that a bunch of douchebags go into a house to steal a VHS tape. They don't know which one.
I've heard
and
it's amazing.
So
I've heard
it's
really,
really...
It's really
great.
My dad
and so, yeah, they keep putting in different tapes to figure out which one it is. And each one is some kind of creepy, fucked up thing where something horrible happens or there's murder or something. And they're each of those tapes that is put in is shot by a different director. There's 5 directors throughout the course of the movie.
Awesome.
And it's... really impressive. There's like, out of the 5 anthologies are tough, and out of like 5 segments, I'd say 4 are really good.
I've heard that people have fainted and shit during VHS, supposedly.
There's a couple of intense moments.
We're watching it.
Sure.
It's pretty great.
I really
so
want to.
So is that streaming or is it?
That's you can get it. It's in theaters now in a limited release. You can also watch it off Amazon for like $7 with the see it while it's in theaters thing, which. I would honestly say this is probably fine to watch at home. I don't know how much this movie would be served because it is all kind of found footage-y camera.
It's
going to be better probably just to watch it on your TV. You're not going to miss anything not seeing
it.
It's
nauseated sometimes with found footage
this
in the theater.
This one isn't usually... It's not as... We watched it as part of a found footage week where we watched like Blair Witch and Behind the Mask. This is a new enough one that they've learned to not get the audience sick.
Yeah,
that's
good.
So it's much better than most, but it's still got some of that. And because of that, they've got the fake video artifacts and the graininess.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to see this amazing definition on the screen.
Sure,
anyway.
Sure.
But yeah, I really dig it. Horror anthologies are tough, and I really thought this one did well.
So VHS.
Our second question is, who's your favorite atheist character?
I've spent a lot of time trying to think of this one because I listen to your show, obviously. And there are not that many. And
no.
A lot of the ones that I like, I think people have already mentioned, so I'm going to be one of those people that cheats and says, because he's a character, I'm going to say Jesse Thorne, guy who runs Maximum Fun, does Jordan Jesse Go, public radio guy, who I would not be doing podcasts myself if it were not for him and Chris Hardwick, because he is a guy who is an atheist, is plain spoken about it. And also is kind of in the forefront of the new sincerity. Here's a guy who does not believe in irony and liking things because it's funny to like a sucky thing, which was a big turning point for me. I hate hipsters. I hate irony. And so this is one of the most positive, energetic, and full of life people I've ever listened to. and is also an atheist, which makes me super happy to have that guy out there as an example.
What's his podcast?
He's got the public radio one is called Bullseye, and then he also does one with his buddy called Jordan Jesse Go.
Jordan Jesse Go.
Improv type stuff.
They've done some sketch stuff, and then it's a pretty good clinic in Yes And as well.
Right.
They'll get on a silly tangent. And
you just told me about this before, yeah. And I haven't had a chance to check it out.
It's a lot of fun. Some people find him too saccharine. I think it's just because he is super sincere. He will go off for an hour about satsumas because he thinks they are the perfect form of orange. And, like, just loves them. They're easy to peel. They're delicious. And they just go off. And people are like, that's just silly. It's a guy loving oranges too much. I'm like, no, it's a guy loving life. And I love that. You know, I love sincerity. And so he's a great example of that. So I'll go with Jesse Thorne.
Cool. All right, Jesse Thorne. All right. What is your geekiest hobby?
Another tough one. I'm going to say that, in a broad sense, it's being a collector. To the point of almost being a detriment. I collect a lot of things. But I collect so many things that I can't collect them all at once, so it goes in phases. So for a while, I'll spend all my extra money on action figures, which I then keep in the package and have in boxes in the basement.
Okay.
And then something really... I'll go to a store and see a really amazing sake set, and that'll reinvigorate my interest in sake sets. And I'll buy sake sets for 6 months.
Sure, sure.
But then I'll see a sweet tea set next to the sake set and go back to buying tea sets. And then I'll go to the record store and see a sweet album on vinyl.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm buying vinyl for 6 months. And then it goes back to action figures. So it's just, the fact that I'm that guy that, video games for that matter, I've got 20 games on Steam that I've purchased and not yet played because, well, it was cheap now and I'll want to play it eventually.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, man, so I'm like those old ladies that buy yarn because eventually they'll want it.
Yeah.
I'm that guy for any kind of nerdy hobby. Yeah. It's just the
knowing that you have all those action figures in your basement means the next time I go over to your house, I'm just going down to your basement and taking it.
Yeah, which
you'll never know.
No, I won't. I finally gave up a couple years back and they are now becoming Christmas presents and birthday presents for the boys.
I've got all the
Austin Powers figures, all the Star Wars stuff.
I want to hear Austin say groovy, baby.
Oh, he loves Austin Powers. He will absolutely say that. Yeah.
Austin.
So now it's just like, oh, crap, it's the boy's birthday. Coming up in like a week. I'm like, and we just go downstairs, pick 6 or 7 things, and wrap them up. We're like, shopping done.
Nice.
Like, we haven't spent money on a present for him in probably 3 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And somebody's going to listen to this podcast and go, wait a minute.
Whatever, that kid's getting toys.
He's a metric. Right. He calls them dudes. He's got a ton of dudes.
He's got a lot of dudes. Favorite sandwich?
The favorite sandwich is one that I invented with the help of Justin Smurf, which we call the triple pork sandwich, which means, Nick, you're out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It is, I don't want to oversell it. It is the greatest thing in the history of time.
thank goodness you didn't oversell.
The triple pork sandwich is you go to your meat counter of choice and you buy pork chops. Not the kind with the bone in them, the sort of filet-looking ones.
Oh, yeah, butterfly.
They're about the size of, like, a piece of bread.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they're usually, what, ½-inch, ¾-inch thick?
Yeah, because they're butterfly.
And then you're going to then cut them lengthwise again to make them thinner. Mm. So that you basically got your top and bottom of the sandwich. Those you season with your favorite kind of dry rub type stuff. I go to Penzi's locally here and get all kinds of great shit. Barbecue 3000 is one of my favorite, or the Arizona Dreaming is really good. Put that all on there. Those you then put a little bit of oil in a pan, cook those up. While that's cooking, you then take thick cut bacon. If you want to do like applewood or maple, that's fine. We generally just do some kind of normal, like smoked thick cut bacon. You deep fry it. Deep fried bacon is the best thing ever. So you deep fry the bacon. When your pork chops are done, you then have one pork chop, deep fried bacon. We use cheddar generally for the cheese. A sharp cheddar is ideal. You put that on top of there. You put the other pork chop on top of that. Then you take a couple toothpicks and you stick it so the sandwich stays together. Then you dip that monstrosity into Jiffy cornbread batter and deep fry the entire sandwich.
So it's like a Porky Cristo.
It is. You are going to die before you're 50.
Each one takes 6 months off your life. But do you really want the last 6 months of your life when you're pissing into a bag? No, you do not. When I die, I will know I truly lived.
Is this a pre-Double Down?
Yes, I believe it might be.
Predate the Double Down?
We might, yeah. It's been a while. We've been making these for a few years.
That's amazing.
They are everything that is hog.
I want to make a chicken version with chicken breasts and
chicken. You can make a great
It's Nick Tonight. That's what it is. It's enriched Nick Tonight.
Enriched Nick Tonight.
That one's by far the favorite.
Final question.
What's the stupidest comment you've ever received regarding your atheism or skepticism?
I would think the one I haven't heard anyone else use here that I got, I believe, from my mom was, well, why do you get out of bed in the morning then? To which I said...
Like your meaning of life.
Well, yeah, to which I said, because I keep waking up. I mean, the day I don't is when I stop getting out of bed. I'm like, what do you mean? Why? Yeah. She's like, well, I have a reason. I'm like, no, you don't. You get out of bed the same reason I do. You fucking woke up.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you going to do? Just lay there and be like, God, I'm just going to lay here and enjoy the fact that God exists. Of course not. You got to go to work. You got to feed the kids. You got to go enjoy life and have hobbies and interests and love people and
you can't just
have
lay,
wonder and happiness.
Yeah.
Sort of.
You know, so, like, the idea that it is, you know, the idea that without that ethereal thing, and I'm like, no one that is religious has in the back of their mind at all times, it's so awesome that God made this McTrouble. It is so awesome that God put Friends on TV when I wanted to watch it. It's so you don't sit there and think about every single thing that you're doing all day long and how awesome it is that God exists to make that happen for you. You just do your shit.
I just want to, real quick, know? The McTrouble is something you introduced. You introduced me to the McTrouble at Convergence when we were, it was like drunk during the day. And we were making fun of the boffers, the like foam sword fighter
the
dudes.
Fighty wappy kids.
And we were and we were kind of maybe a little drunk. And I think we were giving the Captain America guy some shit at that point and yelling at your engineer for your podcast, yes. Corwin. And Salsa's wife showed up with a sack of dollar burgers and sandwiches from McDonald's, and you're all like, oh dude, time for McChubbles. And McChubble is a double cheeseburger that you...
Yep, it's the McDouble from the dollar menu.
That you separate at between the beef patties.
Yep.
And then you take a McChicken and you insert it between those burger patties.
Bun and all, everything.
Bun and all, and then you put the burger back together with that in the middle.
And then I die a widow
and
it is, very young.
And it is die before you're 50.
No, it is a $2 meal that is the best.
I've only eaten two in my entire life. One was at Convergence and one was like a month or two ago. But it is... Because you get the mayo-y stuff from the chicken.
The crispiness of the chicken in there.
Yeah, it's in the middle.
The
with
hardness
the,
of the beef.
You know what I would do if I could customize that? I'd do extra pickles on that.
Oh, I can see that being good. Almost like a
salad.
Chicken, man.
Oh,
all
my God, you guys are going to die.
See, we'll die soon, but we'll die happy.
Yeah.
Enjoy your rabbit food.
I will enjoy my years of life without you two.
Well, I can see that actually pretty
good. Greta will probably enjoy Greta and I are going to have some good times. I like the look of your lady. All right. Thank you, Matt, for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was awesome. I said awesome a lot this podcast, by the way. It's been a long day. Thank you for listening to Geeks Without God. As always, I have been Molly Glover and with Tim Wick and Nick Glover. You can follow Matt's podcast, AON Podcast, at it's aonpodcast.com.
Yep.
Right? And apropos of nothing, if you are doing the Googles.
Where do they find... Horror Hot Dog.
Horror Show Hot Dog is just that. Otherwise, just go on iTunes, search for Apropos of Nothing or Horror Show Hot Dog.
Yep.
Everybody's going to use that anyway to find it.
And Tim blogs at PetSnakeReggie.com. We have a new thing starting up, FearlessComedyProductions.com. You should check that out. The website will be live soon. I don't know when this is going up. It's probably live already.
It should be live by the time
it
comes
up. Should be live by
now.
Yeah. So please like us on Facebook, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Geeks Without God is a Fearless Comedy production.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com or follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Yeah, I totally cock-blocked you right at the beginning. I'm sorry about that. That was shitty.